God bless you, Saint. God bless you, Pilgrim. We are certainly happy to be in the house of the Lord this evening, and we are certainly happy to have come to the last service of the meeting and to be able to just to share the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Well, first of all, I want to thank the host pastor, Brother Derek Donaldson, and for the invitation and the local church. And I want to say God bless him, God be with him. And also want to thank the local assembly here and all the saints of God that I've met and have fellowship with, and all your well wishes, your blessings, your handshakes, and all the fellowship we can enjoy together. We want to say thank you, and may God richly bless you. As Brother Branham said, that Jesus Christ healed 10 lepers, and only one came back to say thank you. So I want to be one of those lepers who's coming back and saying thank you. And God richly bless you, and God be with you. And we trust the Lord to be able just to make more contact with one another. And if any time you are traveling and you're in our country of South Africa, you're more than welcome to come and visit with us. And we will just treat you royally. And we want to say thank you to everything that the pastor has done for us, the motel that he's booked us in, and picking us up, arranging us to the service to and fro, and all the kindness and all your well wishes. We want to say God bless you, and God be with you, and we love you with a Jesus kind of love. God bless you. If you have your Bibles with you, we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and we read verses 12 to 18. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and 12 to 18. I want to be looking at the same thought that I took last night, and maybe just taking from another angle, but just continuing on. Second Corinthians chapter 3, we read from verse 12. Seeing that you have such a hope, we use great plainness of speech. I believe that because of the hope of this ministry, and the understanding of this ministry of speech has now become plain. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which was abolished, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, When it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The word liberty means there's unveiling. But we all, with open face, behold as in a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed from changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Then just one more scripture in the book of Revelation chapter 3 and verses 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in fire, that thou mayest be me rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's just ask the Lord's blessings. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. We have read your word, Father, as the prophet of God said, any man, Lord, that's able can turn the pages of the Bible, but it takes you to reveal the context thereof. May you come and bless us and be with us and anoint your word. Take, O Lord, hold of your servant, O Lord, and just anoint our hearts and lips, and may you bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Certainly, certainly enjoyed preaching with Brother Hildebrand, and I said to him, well, when two Harolds meet, something has to shake. Brother Bannon says, when two omnipotents meet, something has to shake. So we certainly enjoyed preaching with him, and we love him, and we thank God for his ministry and also what he's done in the continent of Africa, and we want to just salute him, and may God richly bless him. We want to be taking our thought again on the same thought, and I trust that I take slow, but I wind up as we go along, and we trust the Lord to just bless us by the way of his word. Now, we understand that we have no fruits of our own. We are the fruits of Malachi 4. And I believe that we are hanging on the seven branch because we are the epistles of Malachi 4. And because of this ministry, God has literally come to bring us about that we can find our place and our position, as we've heard this morning. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3, a lion has roared, who can but prophesy? I would thank God this evening that we can now preach something because a lion has roared. We had nothing to say, we could not minister the word of God, we could not even preach, but because a lion has roared, we have now something to say. And we thank God for the lion that has roared for us to be able to express what is in our hearts today. We are happy to know that we are eating from the tree of life. Brother Bannon said there was a prophet tree, there was a bride tree, and there is also a bridegroom tree. And we are now eating from the tree of life, and the tree of life is blooming again. And what a great hope we have to know that the tree of life is absolutely blooming in the end time. So we're looking back at Adam and Eve, and looking at the covering. In the beginning, Adam was formed out of the ground, but when he came to the woman, she was taken from Adam to the man. She was a part of the man in every way. She belonged somewhere. And as we, Brother Branham says that we are belongers because we belong somewhere. And that's why he says that every person should belong to a home church, should have a church and call it your home. Not just go and float around from place to place, but call it your home because you've got to belong somewhere. Now, we find that Cain never belonged anywhere. He wasn't a belonger because he had no identification, and because he belonged nowhere, we find he was drifting, he became a wanderer. And if you don't belong anywhere, and you don't belong to some source, you become a wanderer and you drift from one idea to the next idea. But God wants you to come to a position that you can realize that you come from somewhere, that you come from God, and that you go back to God. So Cain had no sense of belonging. He did not belong to the human race. He did not fully belong to the animal kingdom. He was half human and half animal. He was a hybrid. He was a confused young animal man. And he had no sense of belonging. But thank God today that we have a sense of belonging because we know where we come from. Cain was like a vulture eating the good things of God and also eating the bad things of Satan. He had no sense of belonging. And that's why Brother Branham said that the vulture can eat the good things and he can also eat the bad things. But we are not vultures, we are eagles, and we eat the fresh meat of the Word of God. The true seed of God has a sense of belonging. She has a revelation of our origin. So we have a sense of belonging because we have a revelation of our origin. That's why before there was evil, God made a way for you and placed your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Brother Branham says that in Satan was the power of deception. And he knew that in Satan that would be a power of deception, and that's why he made a way for you to be able to place your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before Lucifer was ever created. And that's why Jesus came to seek and save only those that were on the book. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says he died only for the elect, and he only came to seek those who was on the book. He came to seek the feminine expression of himself, because the prophet says the battle in heaven was the battle of expression. Lucifer wanted to give expression, and God wanted to give expression. And God's final expression is the expression of his bride. Hallelujah. We find that he became the Godhead, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, but we find that the fullness of his expression did not come to the fore until the bride was completely expressed. So the end time church becomes the final expression of this great expression. And Brother Branham says God will not rest until all his expressions has been expressed. Can we say praise the Lord? You are the book of redemption because all that was in the book was you. Can we say praise the Lord? You were the seal book, and when the book was unveiled, when the seals was opened, the opening of the book was the opening of the bride. Hallelujah. So when the book opened, the Bible became a new Bible. It was also then the revelation of the bride. She was expressed. She's revealed at this time of redemption. Full redemption is the manifestation of the true bride. That's why we find that the prophet of Malachi 4 is the prophet of redemption. Can we say praise the Lord? Because the book of redemption comes at the end time in the hands of a man. We find that Jeremiah was a prophet of redemption, and he spoke about the book of redemption, that was placed, the scroll that was placed in earthen vessels. And we find that Malachi 4 was a prophet of redemption because that the book of redemption was placed in the hand of a sex-born man. That's why the bride of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, is spirit of his spirit. She's a bone of his bone. She's flesh of his flesh. She's word of his word. She's life of his life by being a part of him. So the part of God that he had to express is that feminine expression of him. And that expression that God wanted to express at the end time, and that's why the prophet says at the end time he becomes the all in all. Hallelujah. He could not be the all in all in the infant church, but when all the expressions of God has been expressed, he takes a position at the end time as the all in all. The cornerstone has now become the headstone. It's the same stone, but in a different position. So what he was in the Alpha is now expressing in the Omega. If there was an Alpha principle, there also has to be Omega principle. Can we say praise the Lord? So the reflection of the Alpha has now come to reflect itself back in the end time, the Omega. The Bible says we are not ashamed. They were not ashamed. They had no complex. They had no barrier. There was no covering. It was not necessary for them to have the covering because she came out of him. Hallelujah. And that's why Brother Branham says we have nothing to hide because we come out of him. There was nothing that was foreign to Adam about the woman because she was him. There was nothing between them because she was an expression of himself. That speaks of marriage. It speaks of union. It speaks of one direction. It also, they were veiled with an invisible veil. She was totally naked and she was not ashamed. So we find that she was totally naked, both of them, but they were not ashamed, they were not embarrassed, there was nothing to hide. There was no curtain, because a curtain hides something. A veil is a curtain. If you want to hide something, you put a curtain up to hide something, to show there is something behind that curtain. But we find that with Adam and Eve, there was nothing to hide. There was no curtain between. And Brother Manum said there is a bamboo curtain, there is a purple curtain, there is an iron curtain. And he says, don't watch the other curtains, watch the purple curtain. Because behind the curtain, there is a mystery. Can we say praise the Lord? And so we find that behind something, behind a curtain, there is something that's got to be unveiled, or there's got to be something that is revealed. There is a mystery behind the curtain. The end time message reveals what was behind that curtain. And as we have known, when the seals opened, we saw the mystery of Babylon. We saw the great woman, the fallen woman. We saw what was behind the curtain. But the curtain had to be unveiled and opened about, and that we can look beyond the veil. And when Brother Branham, the seals was open, we find that Malachi said, I show you the woman, the fallen woman of Revelation 17. And we find the woman of Revelation 17, she was called a harlot, and we find that the end time bride and the end time prophet of the end time came to reveal to us the fallen woman. He not only came to reveal us the fallen woman, and also not came to reveal the judgment of the war, but he also came to reveal the bride to the bride. Can we say praise the Lord? So it was the end time Elijah that came to reveal to us the harlot and the judgment of the war. But he also came to reveal to us the bride to the bride. And we find, and he said in Revelation 19, behold, I show you the Lamb's wife. And that's why Brother Branham says that the masterpiece is Alpha Omega. The bride becomes Alpha Omega. She is heir. She's not heir with the fallen woman. She is seed. She is not heir with the shock, because seed will become seed again. Can we say praise the Lord? So he said the end time bride becomes Alpha and Omega, because she is the masterpiece that's revealed at the end time. So there's been an uncovering, an unveiling of the woman, the fallen woman, and there has also been an uncovering of the restored woman. Hallelujah. When sin fell upon Adam and Eve, they made a substitute veil of fig leaves to hide the private parts of their body. They covered the loins not with truth, but with a substitute. Fear fell upon them. They were afraid of the very presence they enjoyed. The very presence they enjoyed, they were now afraid, because the Brother Branham said they perceived they were naked. And they were earnestly desiring to be covered. Sin will reveal your nakedness, but sin cannot cover you. Denomination and substitutes cannot cover you. It has to be the Holy Ghost by the Word of God that will cover you. Can we say praise the Lord? But the angel said, oh, that we may be clothed, that your nakedness does not appear. So we find that our nakedness does not appear because an angel has come to cover us at the end time. That's why this message clothes us. Our nakedness will not appear. We stand as though we have never sinned before. And because we stand in that position, fear and bondage has been removed, and the spirit of adoption has come upon us, whereby we can now cry, Abba Father. Can we say praise the Lord? Moses, when he came from the mountain, he found Israel in sin. It was their sin that veiled him. It was a sign there was a barrier between Moses and the people. There was no union between Moses and the people. There was no marriage. There was no oneness. Sin caused the wall of partition. And Brother Branham says, when sin came in, there was a veil. There was a barrier. There was a wall placed there. And we find that that barrier remained until Jesus Christ came and he removed the veil and removed the barrier, that we can go beyond the veil. That's why he had to become flesh, become sin, break down the wall of partition. The Bible says the veil of partition was rent from top to the bottom. God is now in plain view, no more hidden, no more just a mystery, but now we can see him in plain view. And Paul says, at the end time, you shall be known as you were known. Hallelujah. When will you be known as you were known? Is when the veil is removed. So at the end time, the veil is removed, and now you can see the way God saw you in the beginning. Can we say praise the Lord? That's why Brother Manham says you can never know who you are unless you know who God is. Unless you know your origin, unless you know where you come from and where you have fallen from, you would not know who you are. But God has uncovered everything, and you can now look in the mirror of the Word, and as you look, you are changed from glory to glory back into the original glory. And that's why the end time message is blazing with glory. Because it's taking us back to the original glory of God. Can we say praise the Lord? That's why in this evening time the seals has been removed to reveal the true Christ, the true unfallen woman. This end time bride will not fall. The woman in Revelation 17, she's a fallen woman. But the woman in Revelation 19, she is a restored woman. And Malachi 4 came to reveal to us that woman. Can we say praise the Lord? We find that to show us who we were in Christ, he said that's why the opening of the seals was to show us how you were in Christ in the beginning and how you will be revealed at the end time. That's why this is the hour that we are living in is not the hour of him, but it's the hour of her. It's the hour of the expression of Almighty God, because that expression of God has got to be revealed. That's what the Bible says, when he, the Holy Ghost, is come, it will lead you into all truth. But Brother Branham said the expression of God at the end time is a feminine expression. And that expression is the woman to find her position, who she is in Jesus Christ. She was veiled, but now she is unveiled. She is no more veiled because the veil has been removed. We don't see parables anymore. We see in plain view. And that's what the Bible says. Because we have such hope, we use plainness of speech. Our speech has now become plain because the veil is removed. Can we say praise the Lord? And that's why we find the veil speaks of marriage, union. She is now known as she was known. That's why the life we express will either complement or condemn the message we say that we believe. It has the power to cover and to reveal. Hallelujah. And that's why Brother Branham says, he says, when I come to the door of death, I will not want to show God my Indian or my African campaign. I want to be wrapped in the robes of his righteousness. Can we say praise the Lord? That's why those who heard Brother Branham missed it. Those around Brother Branham missed it. And those who heard the voice of God through Brother Branham caught the mystery. Can we say praise the Lord? That's why, brother, sister, we did not see a man. We heard the voice of God at the end time. Because those who heard William Branham, they missed it. But those who heard the voice of God through William Branham was the one who caught the mystery. Hallelujah. That's why what was in Moses came in the people. What was in Brother Branham came in us. Hallelujah. That's why Brother Branham told Brother Hickerson, he says, Brother Hick, as long as I am here, you will remain there. But he says, when I go, you will come up in the same position where I am. That's why Jesus said, he says, you won't understand what I'm saying to you, but when I go, then you will understand. Peter says, you will understand hereafter. Paul says, I've got many things to say to you, but you are hard of hearing. But when that which is perfect is come, you will understand. Brother Manham said, as many things I say to you, you cannot understand now, but one day you will understand. Now at the end time, we are enjoying and seeing William Branham's message. Can we say praise the Lord? Because the veil has been removed. Many things the prophet spoke of in that day, people around him didn't understand what he was saying. But now God is revealing to us what William Branham was saying. So now the eyes of our understanding has been enlightened. that we might know what is the hope of his calling. So the prophet said, it's a calling within a calling. Hallelujah. The Bible calls it a heavenly calling. He calls it a high calling, a holy calling. It's a calling within a calling. Because Jesus was the call of God. And we were chosen in Jesus Christ. So it's a calling within a calling. Hallelujah. So we find that at the end time, this message of the day, we are now enjoying William Branham's message. It's alive to us. Things we couldn't understand in the early years of the message that we came in, now it's become alive. We can now see the opening of the seals. We can see what happened on Sunset Mountain. We can see the great descent of God. We can now see the whole plan of God unveiled before us. And because we can see what God has done in this end time, it brings us to one conclusion. We are finding our position in this ministry of the end time. Can we say praise the Lord? When the Syrians came against Elijah, the veil came up and they could not see the unseen angels. There was a veil. But the prophet Elijah wasn't afraid. Fear was removed. He was looking to the unseen. That's why fear is bondage. And that fear must be removed. By this message, we are looking to the unseen. And Brother Branham says, the unseen is more real than the seen. And that's why we are looking to the unseen, because the unseen has become real to us in this end time. That's why God has put a veil upon the Jewish church. They were blinded purposely that we might have an opportunity to see our position. And as long as the Gentile body is upon the earth, they will remain, the veil will remain upon their hearts. But to the unfallen woman, to the fulfilled woman, anything that is not perfect is now fulfilled. Can we say praise the Lord? So we find that as long as the Gentile bride is on the earth, the veil remains upon Israel. But when the Gentile bride is removed, the veil is taken away. That they will find their position. What holds them to find out their position? It's a veil. Hallelujah. That's why denominations cannot see this message, because there's a denominational veil. But God has removed the veil. And now we can see in plain view the way God saw us. Can we say praise the Lord? Under Christ, we are not governed by fear. We're not governed by bondage, but by love. The Bible says he is our peace, who has made us one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having an abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment, for to make himself twain one new man, so making peace. So the middle wall of partition has been broken down, and there has come an invisible union at the end time. Hallelujah. He has made two one. That speaks of union. Marriage too, there is no war. There is oneness, there is peace. The end time message has brought one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one body, one cross, one death, and everything as a oneness has been restored. Hallelujah. The veil was rent by death for sin. Sin brought the veil. The cross brought reconciliation. Paul says, when we turn to Christ, the anointed word, the veil will be done away with. Hallelujah. And that's why Brother Branham says we are no more veiled, but he says the word of God has been unveiled, and we find we can now see the way God sees us. Notice the veil is only removed in marriage when the head comes to the body. The prophet says when a young girl gets married, she places a veil upon her. A veil speaks that she's been untouched. She's virgin. And we find the veil is only removed in marriage. And we find that the end time age is the age of marriage. And when the marriage takes place, the veil is removed. And there comes now an invisible union between husband and wife. That's why Brother Branham says this is not fables, but this is headship. Because a marriage has taken place and the veil has been removed. Hallelujah. The head is back to the body, and he says the reason that the head is back and the body, it's a vindication. The rapture is at hand. Why is the head back of the body? That's a vindication. The rapture is at hand. The two now has become one. That's why the message of Brother Branham evolves around marriage. He preached marriage and divorce, invisible union, choosing of the bride, the future home of the heavenly bride and the earthly groom. He speaks about the oneness with God, and we find the restoration of the bride. Three, everything evolves around marriage. And he says the veil can only be removed in the act of marriage. And that's what the prophet said. Satan had his marriage in the Pergamos church age. When the state and church unite together, that was the marriage of Satan. But he said it was a false marriage, and with that marriage come death and hell. But with our marriage comes life. Can we say praise the Lord? That's why Brother Branham says the bogus first went first. The bogus first preceded the real. And that's why Satan in the age of Pergamos united certain church and state together, and that became the marriage of Satan with his bride. But God at the end time had to first remove the veil by this marriage and bring down the headship of Christ. And the headship of Christ back in the body is a vindication that the rapture is at hand. Can we say praise the Lord? Aren't you glad, brother, to know that this message is not fables? The head has come back to the body. The two has become one. The male spirit has now projected into the feminine part. We have now become love slaves to Jesus Christ, because the masculine and the feminine has become one. Those in the bride will be so much like him, she will be him as she nears the headstone. Can we say praise the Lord? Hallelujah, what a great hour we are living in. As we've heard this morning, finding opposition. That's why Brother Branham says the three chapters of Ephesians shows you your spiritual position in Christ. And the next three chapters reveals your manifestation after you receive your spiritual position in Jesus Christ. Now at the end time, he becomes one with us in righteousness to remove veils, that he might know us as we were known. That's what the Bible says, that husbands dwell with your wives according to knowledge. So at the end time, in this union, Jesus Christ dwells with his bride according to knowledge. Hallelujah. What is knowledge? Knowledge is pregnation. The Bible says that Adam knew his wife. So at the end time, the bride of Jesus Christ, he lives with us according to knowledge. Hallelujah. Because the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him has come down, that we might understand and see what is the hope of not our calling, but his calling. Hallelujah. Can we say praise the Lord? The Bible says in Hebrews 10, he says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and a living way, through the veil of his flesh. That's why I said that Brother Branham was the veil. But you've got to come to the veil to go beyond the veil. You can never go beyond the veil unless you come to the veil. Hallelujah. The word becomes flesh. The word became flesh, became sin to destroy sin and remove the veil. That he could not remove the veil any. He could not remove the veil any other way by becoming flesh, and the word became flesh. Can we say praise the Lord? He could not die in the body of Melchizedek. He could not come and die as an angel. He could not take the elements of the earth. No, it had to be a new creation. Because the principal seed of life is in the seed. And he had to take on that life principle to become a seed and redeem us back to himself again. Paul said, seeing that we have such hope, such expectation, we use great plainness of speech. Our speech becomes plain. It is no more mysterious. The seals is open. The seven seals was veils. It kept us away, it kept it away. But in the invisible union, it is revealed. What is a seal? To hide something. It's a veil. It's to close something. So when the seals was torn open, what was revealed? Your perfect identification was revealed by the opening of the seals. Can we say praise the Lord? So when you look at the seal book, you don't read the book just as the horse riders and the history of the church ages. No. You see, in this whole seals is the revelation of the bride. Hallelujah. Because by the opening of the seals come forth the revealing of the woman. Paul says, when their minds and hearts shall be turned, Paul says, when their hearts and their minds shall turn to the Lord, it will be removed when our heart is turned. And Paul says, when your heart and their minds are turned. So who turned our hearts? This entire message. And when our hearts is turned, we will then see who we really are. Because we were veiled to see our position, but the veil has been removed. There is no more veils, everything is uncovered. Paul says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty means unveiling. It doesn't mean noise, it means unveiling. So where God's Spirit is, there is unveiling. What's unveiling? The unveiling of the Word. To reveal what? What's behind the veil? Brother Manon says, behind the veil is His bride. Can we say praise the Lord? Paul says, we with unveiled faces, not with veiled faces, but with unveiled faces, behold the glory of the Lord. The Word made flesh, our chains are transformed back into the original glory. So as we behold and we see this great unveiling, we see ourselves back into Him again. We see Christ revealing Himself in His entire expression. Can we say praise the Lord? That's why this message, Brother Branham says, there's many women that is in the church, but there's one woman who goes home with me. And that's my wife. And I believe that your revelation must go home with you. You have a revelation husband. This bride is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And you've got to know who this woman is. You've got to know your revelation. And your revelation must go home with you. And that's why in Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, God did not take fig leaves. God killed the lamb. The lamb was a sign that showing them that redemption and the covering will come via a slain lamb. It was not going to be by bodily life, but it was going to be by a slain lamb. The Word had to take on the life seed principle. The fig leaves was a false representation, a false covering. It was not speaking of redemption. That's why Brother Branham said the fig leaves don't speak of redemption. It speaks of religion. Religion is a covering. But redemption by the blood cleanses up and redeems and brings back to itself again. That's why Brother Branham shows that marriage is redemption. Hallelujah. Adam could redeem Eve back to himself. Hallelujah. And that's why the prophet says, when you meet the woman that was a part of you, you redeem her. And that's what Jesus Christ said. He is the Savior of the body. Because He only marries the woman that was a part of Him. So God only died for the woman that was in Him. And so He comes and redeems you because you were a part of Him. Can we say praise the Lord? So you and your wife, Brother Branham says, marriages never begin on the earth, but he says marriages begin in heaven. That's why Jesus says, Father, what is in heaven, let it also be expressed on the earth. Brother Branham says, what is heaven? He says, heaven consists of the Word. What was in the Logos, what was in the Word, what was in the mind of God, let it also be reflected on the earth. So he says, if you are part together in eternity, he says you bump into the same one that you were a part of. And your wife becomes your eternal mate in glory. Can we say praise the Lord? Not even death will separate you. Because you got married not on the earth. You were already married in heaven. What was in heaven, what was in the theophany, what was in the Word, reflects back on the earth again. And you marrying that woman, you redeemed her, you saved her.
Otherwise, she would be living with somebody else. But by you taking her and choosing her, you redeemed her back to where she belongs. Can we say praise the Lord? The fig leaves was a false representation, a false covering. It was not speaking of redemption and fellowship. By the blood, the slain lamb would be God Himself in the form of a man to provide the robe of the Holy Spirit. So the robe of the Holy Spirit had to come via the medium of the lamb. God gave them a temporary robe, a substitutionary robe, a robe of animal skin, and yet today we are clothed in a fallen type of clothing. As we said, the clothing we wear, it is not the original clothing, revealing man's fallen condition. The dress you wear and the suit you wear is a sign revealing your fallen condition. And so we find, but God's plan was a robe via the lamb, not a robe via bodily life, but the robe had to come via the lamb. That's what the age we are living in, the age of Laodicea, it's an age of nakedness. But we find that God has clothed us by His word and bring us back again to our ought-to-be position. So we find that the original, everything is back to the original. Everything that came with the fall will pass away. There will be no more washing. There will be no more ironing. There will be no more making of beds. Brother Manum says all those things will pass away because in the beginning it was not so. Hallelujah. When God made the woman, there was no beds to make up. There was no ironing and washing. There was nothing. But there was only joy and happiness in that kingdom. Because they did not need clothing from a saint civilization. Cain's lineage built the cities, and the earth is full with cities and Cain's religion and Cain's clothing, and Satan is the designer. Can we say praise the Lord? Through the ages, He gave them types of the robe that will be dressed and covered. We find Joseph, a type of Christ, received a seven-color robe. Hallelujah. And that seven-color robe presented the seven church ages as the Holy Spirit to robe His elect. It was that robe that produced all hatred and jealousy. That's why Brother Branham says, if you are robed with the Holy Ghost, the outside world will despise you. You will be called an oddball because it is that robe that will bring hatred and jealousy. Can we say praise the Lord? But God was showing to Joseph, there's going to come a robe. Not a robe from science, but there's going to come a robe by the Lamb. Can we say praise the Lord? We see Elijah had a robe, and he was on his way to heaven. He sent it back to Elisha, a type of the bride. Brother Manum says Elisha types the bride, a type of the bride. It took him 10 years to grow into that robe. Hallelujah. The prophet says we now have natural and spiritual resurrection. We have a double portion. He says because natural and spiritual resurrection is now. I believe with all my heart the resurrection has begun. The rapture has been spoken, and so shall it be. Hallelujah. Inside of the bride of Jesus Christ, a resurrection is in process right now. We are growing in the robe of the resurrection. Ruth was covered with the robe of Boaz. And Naomi told Ruth, go and lay at the feet of Boaz. Cover yourself with his robe. She said, cover me with your robe. I want to be one with you. That robe that Ruth was laying at the feet of Boaz, she was absolutely coming to identify herself with Boaz. Can we say praise the Lord? The spirit of Boaz was all around her. She wanted identification, oneness, and union. And Naomi said, go and identify yourself with that man and go lay at his feet and cover yourself with his robe. Brother Branham says that the outside world, it would look sinful for a woman to go and lay at the feet of a man. But Naomi, the Old Testament, sent Ruth with a perfect message. Go and identify yourself with that kinsman redeemer. Let His Spirit become part of you. And He will not stop until He has fully redeemed. Can we say praise the Lord? Aren't you glad, brother, sister, to know that our Boaz not only can redeem, but our old Boaz can also raise up seed. Cover me, cover me. That was the words of Ruth. With the robes of Boaz. Before Rebekah met Isaac, Eliezer had a robe for her. It was her identification. Eliezer did not remove from Rebekah until he saw Isaac. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaac was in the field. But Eliezer did not depart from Rebekah until Eliezer saw Isaac. Hallelujah. I believe that Brother Branham saw him. It says that Christ, it said that mighty angel will come down at the same time when the earthly messenger is on the earth. And Brother Branham says, I tell you he is here. And because he was here, Brother Branham says, I must decrease and he must increase. Can we say praise the Lord? I believe the end time messenger saw him. I believe he saw the coming of the Lord. I believe he knew exactly what he was doing because Eliezer was with Rebekah until he saw Isaac. And she was veiled with the robe. It was her identification. That she was under her messenger, Eliezer. She became one with the messenger. It was her true identification. The Bible says, and she followed the man. And that man took her to her unseen bridegroom. And the Eliezer, the messenger, did not leave her until he saw the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad, brother, sister, to know that we are robed with the robes of His righteousness? We look at Esther having a special robe. She had a special robe for the king, a royal robe. It identified a certain occasion, a certain glory. It must be a certain robe for a certain occasion. And Esther was robed with a royal robe. And we find the king wanted to give expression. He wanted to give expression of his love and expression of his joy. And the Bible says when the king made a big feast and invited the queen Vashti to come in his presence, Vashti refused to come in the presence of the king. But Esther did not wait for the king to make a feast. She made a feast for the king. And she invited the king within her presence. Hallelujah. And the king put out the golden scepter. The anointing dropped down. And she entered the kingdom of the king. She made the king happy. And the king said to her, you can have half my kingdom. And the king says, what do you want? He says, I want judgment for Haman. I want mercy for Israel. Esther became the mercy seat. And Esther became the judgment seat. Brother Branham says, the mercy seat is now in the bride. You become the judgment seat. And you become the mercy seat of God. Can we say praise the Lord? It was no more in the hands of the king. It was now in the hands of a woman. The prophet of God says, we are God's victory. We are the very reason for his death. Because all power now is in the woman. Can we say praise the Lord? That's why Jesus says in John 17, Father, the same joy and the same fellowship and the same love and the same peace and the same happiness and whatever you've given me, I want to give it to them. I want to transfer my joy to them. That they may be one as we are one. And in that day you shall know that I'm in the Father in me and I in you. Brother Branham picked that scripture up. He says, that day has now become this day. Why is it this day? Because a oneness has taken place. It is Father, Son, and Bride. Hallelujah. What was in God, it was now poured into Christ. And what was in Christ, it is now within the church of Jesus Christ. You are the very mercy seat of God. And you are the very judgment seat of God. Can we say praise the Lord? Revelation 4, it says that thou hast a few names which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And being part of his plan, Brother Branham says, we are worthy. Can we say praise the Lord? Can you truly say that I am the very righteousness of God? Can you truly say I am worthy? Because a worthy one took your place. Can we say praise the Lord? What a promise we have. We shall walk with him in white. We shall walk with him in white. The clothing, the white raiment that we'll be wearing is not going to be from a sand civilization. It's not going to be nylon or cotton or wool. No. We can walk with him in white. When Jesus Christ was born, he was naked. They wrapped him in swaddling clothes, taken from the yoke of an oxen. Where was the Son of God wrapped him? In swaddling clothes, in hard material. But brother says that we and you and I can be robed in the robes of his righteousness. When he died between the heavens and the earth, he hung naked. He had no little piece of cloth in front of his body. No, he hung naked. The soldiers cast lots for his son's robe. He had a robe on. The robe came from a sign civilization. And they were casting lots for his robe. The disciples removed the body from the cross and they wrapped him in clothes. But when he arose, he did not take that clothing with him. The Bible says they found the clothing in the tomb. They found that same clothing in the bundle laying in the tomb. He did not take that clothing from same civilization with him. Can we say praise the Lord? You are not going to take your suit or your clothing with you. He's going to robe you in white. Can we say praise the Lord? And the Bible says while they were eating, Jesus walked straight to a concrete wall. His body was chained. They thought it was a spirit. He raised in a glorified condition. He said to Mary, don't touch me. Don't touch me. He wasn't naked. He was clothed in white. He was showing that now in that body he did not need clothing from a saint civilization. Can we say praise the Lord? And he told Mary, don't touch me. I have not descended to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. Brother Branham shows that Mary could not touch him because we find the high priest, when he goes in the veil, nobody is allowed to touch him. But when he takes the blood within the holies of holies and when he comes out, they can touch him. And afterwards he comes. Something happened between that time, and then he came to Thomas and said, Thomas, touch me. Can we say praise the Lord? He did not need the clothing of saint civilization. He left that clothing in the tomb. In Philippians chapter 3 it says, for our conversation is in heaven. Where is heaven? Brother Branham says, heaven is the word. What is heavenly places? Heavenly places is the believer's position in Christ. You can be sitting right in heaven now in this building. Why? Because the word is heaven. And Philippians chapter 3 says, our conversation is in heaven. Heaven has come down by this ministry of the hour. That's why I'm telling you this message never came from Jeffersonville. This message came from above. Hallelujah. We come from God and we go back to God again. From whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So our conversation is not around Brother Jones and Brother Jack and Brother Brian and Brother Jean. Our conversation is in heaven. Because heaven is the word. Hallelujah. That's why the message of the hour is in heavenly places. It's the believer's position. your robe with the robe of His righteousness. It was always God's plan to produce a covering from within. The covering was not so much going to be an outward covering, it was an inward covering. The fall had made man to manufacture clothing. And we found these textiles and clothing manufacturers, and they've made millions and billions of ren and building up an economy through clothing and clothing. But that is not in God's original world. God don't need textiles. God don't need cotton and wool and all these things. God has got His own robe. Can we say praise the Lord? But in the resurrection, our bodies will be changed. This clothing is a sign something is wrong with us. That's what the Bible says. It says we are earnestly groaning to wit the redemption of the body. Let me tell you, Jesus never died for this body. This body won't go in heaven. This body won't be taken up. This body will be turned into the atoms. Hallelujah. Flesh and blood will never enter the kingdom of God. This body came by a wrong perversion. We will leave this body behind, but there's a new body waiting for us. From the pest house into the Father's house. Hallelujah. In Luke 24 it says, and it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Two men stood by them at the tomb in shining garments. Brother Branham says, when I came to the door of death, I want to be clothed in the robe of His righteousness. Hallelujah. It's not going to be clothed by our own righteousness, but it's going to be clothed in the robes of His righteousness. We need a new body for a faith civilization. Our first change is an inward change. That's why we are changed from glory to glory. There's got to be an inward change for an outward body change. Can we say praise the Lord? So the change has got to take place on the inside first. And the inside change will put you under expectation for a body change. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad tonight, brother, sister, to know our promise is a body change. This is a pest house. This is a sinner we're living with. Paul said, the things that I want to do, I cannot do. The things that I don't want to do, that I do. I see two members warring in my body. He said, oh wretched man, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And Revelation broke before Paul. He says, oh, I thank God through Jesus Christ. I have the victory. Hallelujah. A great revelation of the rapture. We have some life, the same life and the same glory. We are on our way to glory. That's why I said this message of the hour, it is literally blazing with glory. Because it's going from glory to glory. I don't desire to go back the day when I came in the message. Many times believers says, oh, when we came, when New Zealand began, it was a few believers. Oh, there was such love and oh, we were so happy. Lord, bring back those happy days. No, I don't long for those happy days, because the message of the hour is going from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Sometimes even people in the message say, oh, in Pentecost, we used to have some happy days. And Lord, bring back those happy days when the Holy Ghost fell on every place. No, brother, I'm not looking backwards. I'm looking forward. That's why this message of the hour is back to the future. Hallelujah. We are going forward, but we are going back to Eden. Can we say praise the Lord? We are moving from glory to glory. We are moving forward, but yet we are going backward. We are going to Eden, so it's back to the future. Abram and Sarah walk in the promise of a body change. A complete new body with a power that was within them. What changed their body? The power was within them. The Bible says we have a power of an endless life. The power in them changed their body. And Brother Branham shows that God did not change Sarah's body to a young girl the way she was. Because as a young girl, she could not receive seed. But He had to give her a brand new body. She was 17 and she was 16, but she could not receive seed. So God never changed into the same young body, but God gave her a brand new body. Hallelujah. God was revealing to us there's going to be a body change. Hallelujah. Brother Branham says he gave Sarah new breasts. It says new milk veins. He gave her a new heart for the labor pains. He gave her a new womb to conceive seed. He gave her new breasts for new veins to for the child to be able to be fed on. He gave her everything new because she said she had to receive the promised son. In Genesis, they were naked and they were not ashamed. And in this age, they are naked and they don't know it. It's associated with shame. One with the holy veil and the other one with the lust veil. Brother Manning says, in this hour, you can look and you cannot lust. What has happened? A veil has come down. And how does God veil you? He veiled you by the revelation of this message. I totally believe that you can live a life above every condition today. I believe that sin will become dead to the bride. Women won't even bother you on the outside. Jezebels, everybody on the outside won't even disturb you because you are veiled. What has veiled you? It's the word of Almighty God. Can we say praise the Lord? There is a flesh robe, a celestial robe, and there's a glorified robe. We will have a body like His own glorious body. We are earnestly desiring to be clothed with that body. And if we be clothed, we shall not be found naked. The believers in the sixth dimension are in a theophonic body, but they are desiring to be glorified. They are desiring, they're earnest. God can only let you look beyond the curtain of time. Those believers are desiring to break into our dimension. Hallelujah. They're under expectation to break in. Brother Branham said they're moving in a faster speed than our speed. But I believe one day they will break in. God will turn the speed from fast to slow speed. And when you see them, you will know the rapture is at hand. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the inside garment. And those in a theophany will pick up the glorified body for Eden. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the earnest of the resurrection. It's the down payment. You must wear your inside garment. Jesus was transformed. We are transformed. We are going through a metamorphosis, a change taking place all the time. His garment was white like light, the robe of immortality. Can we say praise the Lord? A robe of immortality. And that's why we are going to a metamorphosis. We are going from glory to glory. And we are going back to perfection. Can we say praise the Lord? We shall see Him as He is. It is this very hour that these things become a reality to us. Hallelujah. That's what we've heard for the 8 meetings we've been preaching, is preaching the bride's position. Showing you who He is, that you can see who you are. When we are dressed in the robes of immortality, then only we are fully dressed. We are not fully dressed yet, but the moment we cross over in the robes of immortality, then we are fully dressed. Paul called this body a building, a house, a tabernacle, a tent. He says, if this one is folded, there's a much better one waiting for us. I believe there's a better resurrection. There's a better body. Everything is better promises, a better testament. And God has even given us something higher and something greater. Because we are moving from the pest house into the Father's house. Zechariah 3 says, this body is like a filthy garment. He says, behold, I have caused thee, thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a changed raiment. So what will He do at the end time? He will clothe us with a changed raiment. Not a raiment of saints, but a new body. Isaiah 6:10 says, clothe me with the garments of salvation. Cover me with the robes of righteousness. Let me change my garment of heaviness with the garment of praise. So what is God doing at the end time? There's got to be a body change. And this message of the hour has put us under expectation for a body change. The prophet says this body is like an old coat. You wear, but if you have one better, you don't use this one anymore. The real you is on the inside of that body. That's the way the old body, that's the way the old body is. It bore the image of the heavenly, yet it is not you. You must make reservations for a changing of a robes. Hallelujah. That's why this message of the hour is a reservation for a changing of a robe. We are moving from the same civilization into a civilization of innocency and peace in the living God. What a civilization we are going to. The curtain, the veil has been removed. We can now see in plain view. The prophet says you've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's still nothing. That is just only a temporary gift for you. The real gift is your soul. Down in there, that is born of God. And in your soul, that's where you grow up. Can we say praise the Lord? The Holy Ghost baptism is only an earnest, a temporary gift for you. But he says the real gift is your soul. And in down there, that's where you grow up. Hallelujah. What a promise we have. What a hope we have in this hour to know when this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, we have another one waiting for us. Because the real life started in the soul before there even was a spirit. And if the soul wasn't a gene of God, you will be deceived, because the genuine Holy Ghost can come upon you without you being a real seed of God. Brother Manning says the Holy Ghost and the Antichrist spirit is twins at the end time. But he says if you are a gene of God, he says you will receive the word of God for your day. You will hear from your theophany and you will respond to the word, and eagle will respond back to eagle. Can we say praise the Lord? When Malachi 4 was in the mountain of Sabinu Canaan, a sword literally came in his hands. A voice said, "This is the sword of the king. It is for your ministry." Brother Manon turned back. He says, "Lord, bring on the holy vesture." What was he saying? He says, "Bring on the new bodies. Bring on the holy vesture. Bring on the new robes." The sword, the word came down to do what? To bring forth the new bodies. I am so glad, Brother Sister, to know that the eagle has responded back to eagle. The prophet says when Jesus went to the woman at the well, he wasn't going for a body. She was a prostitute, but he was going for himself in her. A part of God was locked in her. It was God going to God. It was eagle going to eagle. It was the word going to the word. And when the word anointed the word, she said, "I know when the Messiah cometh, he will tell me these things." What was he doing? He was anointing himself in her. What a promise we have. We have a promise, not a restoration back to a former church age, but a restoration back to a body change. Hallelujah. That's the promise that the end time bride is living under, not a promise from another day. Paul says, "O Galatians, who has bewitched you? Who has bewitched you that you would go back to another day? That you would go back to law?" He says, "You have fallen from grace." Brother, sister, if you look back to another day for your robe or for your righteousness, you have fallen from grace. But God has given us his full word in this hour. And by the full word, with the restoration of the word, came the restoration of power. The rapture is in us. The millennium is in us. God is in us. There's got to be a body change. You don't need this clothing to take with you. You don't need this flesh and blood. You don't need this carcass to go with you. You've got a new body waiting for you. What a promise. If you bury somebody and the person comes in the coffin in the church, and you see the person laying in the coffin, and you cannot say, "Hi John, how are you?" The body is still there. But the person who lived in the body is no more there. It's like a motor car. The driver has left the car. You see the motor car in the coffin, but the driver who lived in it, he's gone. And Brother Branham says, when this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, he says, there is a new one, there's a glorified one waiting right for you. And that's the promise that we are under. And for the new year, brother, sister, don't look to anything. Your promise is a body change. Not to be robed with the civilization, but to be robed with the robes of His righteousness. May God help us. May God give us grace to realize. This is not some story. This is reality. Heaven has come down. Glory fills our soul. He says, when you came down, a part of heaven came with you. Hallelujah. He says your body, your theophany is right with you all the time. It's like a charge from a battery. It says right next to you stands. Your body, he says, it's charging you like a charge giving you from a battery. And when the space dust breaks away, there's a new one waiting for you. What a promise we have. Jesus never took this robe with him. He never took that cloth with him. He don't need anything from science. He don't take anything from science with him. To be a new civilization of innocency and peace in the living God. Aren't you happy today, brother, sister? That is our promise. This message of the hour is not some a bunch of sermons put together. It's a message. It doesn't come from Jeffersonville, Indiana. It comes from above. And Jesus said, He says, you hate me because my word has no place in you. Jesus said, my word has got no home in you. There's no home for the word. There's no room for the word. There's no place for the word. But brother, sister, we have the home for the word. We are moving from glory to glory. And we are going back into the original glory. Christ has descended. I'm not waiting for a coming, I'm waiting for a going. He has come down, and He is the capstone. May God bless us. Can we all stand? Let's just praise the Lord. Let's raise our hands and just praise Him and thank Him and just worship Him for His goodness and His mercy within our lives. Hallelujah. Let's just worship the Lord and give Him thanks and give Him praise. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you, and Jesus, we worship you, and we thank you. We are standing on holy ground, and we know that angels are all around. Let's sing that little chorus. We are standing on holy ground. We are standing. Yes, on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. Jesus now. For we are standing on holy ground. Let's sing it again. We are standing standing tonight on holy ground. Yes, and I know that there are angels all around. Yes, let us praise Jesus now. Now. Yes, for we are standing. Holy ground. Hallelujah. Let the sisters sing it now while we worship the Lord. We are standing. Yes, hallelujah. Let's just worship God and thank Him. Yes, and I know, and I know. All around, we believe He is here tonight. Oh, let us praise Jesus now. Oh, hallelujah! For He is standing. On holy ground. Just one more time, the sisters now. Let's just worship God and thank Him. Yes, we are standing. We have come to the veil and we can go beyond the veil. We are pressing into the unseen. And the unseen is pressing into us. Hope we have plainness of speech. Oh, let us praise Jesus now. Yes, yes, Jesus now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We are standing and standing on holy ground. Just worship God tonight and thank Him. We have heard from our theophany. Hallelujah. We have been taken from this pest house into the Father's house. Oh Jesus, we love You and we thank You. We worship You tonight and we give You thanks. Lord Jesus, we know that we are standing on holy ground and the angels of God is all around. Hallelujah. What a promise we have. Lord, one day, as we'll be walking, O God, Lord, in step will the saints, O God, of this age, and Lord, we'll recognize them, and they will break into this dimension. We will see William Branham coming back, O God. We see those believers coming back that has gone on. And when you see your loved ones, oh, it'll be a sign to you. The resurrection is on. Hallelujah, what a promise we have. I promise, Lord, not to go back to a church institution, but a promise for a body change. Hallelujah. Paul says, let's go on to perfection, leaving the principles of baptism, and let's go on. He was there all the time, waiting patiently, love. He is there all the time. Let's try to sing that. He is there all the time. You know the song? He was there all the time, waiting patiently, love. Okay. You know the song, He is Here, Hallelujah, He is Here? Let's try that one. He is here, Hallelujah. Yes, He is here. Yes, amen. Yes, He is here. You Let's just all say it now. He's you.